Video of the day again, still a bare wall, but we're moving on the 30th. We're getting out of this office, we're going to a big office. Like in the past, things buzzing, phone buzzing as I go and do this video. But I know that this video I did earlier today, I'm going to do two videos for you because tomorrow and Wednesday I'll be teaching at the Monmouth County Police Academy. But this should help everybody, and I've advocated this before, and I'm going to talk about a story that I meant to talk about in the first video, but the video kind of went long because I'm a little long-winded. But this is the video. I'm going to tell you a story from work. I thought about it last night, and I thought it would help bring value to everybody. And I've got 1,000 stories just as they come to me. That's why I provide the content for you to learn from. One thing I always tell people is if you find a target vehicle or a pretextual stop or a car of interest, and it's a car you're gonna follow, chewing gum. My wife's going to yell at me if I'm chewing gum on camera. All right, so if it's a car you're going to follow, and then that person, as you're following them, they know you're following them, jumps out of a car and begins to engage you politely or ask directions or, oh, hey, how are you? Oh, is Joe working? You know, anything like that. That's a really good deterrent to try to psychologically get you to believe that this person is not engaged in criminal activity. So I've had that happen several times where I'm like, you ain't fooling me. Like the car, I pull them over and we're finding contraband, narcotics, whatever it may be in the car. But they were trying to get us to think, or get me to think at least, that, well, I'm saying hello to you, officer. I'm a nice, friendly person. I've had people jump out of the car, run up to my place, go like, hey, I need directions. I need to get here. And I'm like, this is the guy I've been following for a half a mile. He knows I'm coming after him. Why is he jumping out of the car and running over to the car? You know, and I know he has nothing in his hand. I'm not taking a gun out and drawing my AR down on him. But this is a tactic that will be used, especially if you're not in a interstate-only situation, especially if you're hitting lights or in a pedestrian-style situation, whatever it may be, will engage you to try to get you disengaged from them. Don't buy into that bullshit. Now, I will tell you this. I had a story. We got a call at Walgreens in Woodbridge, and a guy is supposedly in there and trying to, like, take – we don't know. We just get this call. I'm the only one around. I had a show there. He's supposedly taking, like, phone – at that time, he had you could buy prepaid phone cards. So he was trying to take them off the wall. So we get this call, comes in, and like, all right, you know, headquarters telling me, like, yeah, he left Walgreens. He's headed now down, and we have a quick check. I don't guess it from around the country. Quick check is like a 7-Eleven. And like, all right, Denny. I remember my friend Tim Majek being on the air saying, Denny's at 7-Eleven. He's at quick check now. So I go to quick check and I go in, and as I pull up to quick check, he's like harassing people outside. I'll never forget this guy said to me, he goes, bro, all the time I say, where's a cop when you need one? He goes, and you just showed up. He's like, it was perfect timing. So I took this dude, and he's acting really strange. I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, all right. So he's acting strange, and he starts acting like he has some kind of mental disability. And he's doing a really good job. So I'm like, so I put him in the back of the car. He's like, I just want to go. Like, he was like really like just talking weird. And I'm like, all right. And it was just the middle of the day. It was a busy day. I wasn't heavily on my head 100% in the game, I guess. So I put him in the back of the car, and the sergeant pulls up. I'll never forget the sergeant. He's like, what do you got? I'm like, I don't know. This guy, he didn't steal anything. I don't know what his deal is. I'm gonna run him back home. He lives in Carteret, which is the next town over. He's like, all right. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, headquarters, transport one back to Carteret. So as I'm driving in the car, this dude is acting like he has mental disabilities, like he's disabled. And I'm like, yeah, he's just like a disabled dude or something. Like, I think it was just a big misunderstanding. So as I'm driving, I'm like, what if this dude isn't a disabled dude? Am I, and I have a lot of time to think. It's about a 15-minute ride to where this guy broke to an address. So when I get up to the address, I'm like, hey, man, which house is yours? And he's like, it's that one right there. I'm like, that one right there? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm like, the one with the door open? He's like, the one with the door open. So I'm like, cool. He's like, wait, let me out of the car. And I'm like, ooh, interesting, kind of change. He went from having a slow speech to a faster speech. So I knock on the door of the car, and he was telling me his name was like John or something. So I knock on the door, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm off to Woodbridge Police. I'm like, do you know who that guy is in the car over there? And they look out the door, and I'm like, who, Rob? And I'm like, Rob, what's his last name? And they give me his last name. I'm not going to say his last name on here. They told me his last name, and I'm like, oh, okay, gotcha. So I go in the car, and I'm like, I put his name in our database. And I'm like, so I pull him up. There's the dude. And he's not paying attention to what I'm doing. He's like, let me out of the car. I've got to go home. And I put him in. He's got warrants galore. So I'm like, I get out of the car, and I'm like, headquarters, I'll have one under arrest out here. So I open the back of the car, and then I lean in. I'll put your hands behind your back. He's like, yo, fuck you, bro. That's what he says to me. I'm like, put your fucking hands behind your back, bro. So I cuff him. He's like, yo, fuck you. He's like, ain't bullshit, blah, blah, blah. He starts cursing at me. And he's like, you ain't got nothing. So, dude, the point of this story is he had warrants. The point of the story is be thorough. Don't take things at face value. And if anybody ever tries to play this game with you, I'm not saying pick on people who are mentally unstable or mentally disabled. People don't know my background. I have a brother who's mentally disabled. I'm not telling you to go out and start screwing around with people who have problems and, whatever it may be. I'm telling you that really be thorough with the things you're looking at. It's a funny story. People like that story, but it went me just doing a little bit more and just knocking on the door and go, instead of just letting him out of the car and let him walk to that house, knock on that door and see who, you know that guy in that car? Oh, who, Rob so-and-so? And I'm like, thanks. If you need him, you can pick him up at police headquarters. That's where he'll be. I knew he had warrants at that point. And that's the story I want to tell you. I don't know if this brought value to you. Maybe you can use this in the field. The likelihood of this happening to you, probably slim to none. But if it does, I always tell people, don't let these people who are wanted slip through your fingers. It may be, now, what do you have, $1,500, $3,000, $5,000, $7,000 in warrants? But we don't know that. We don't know if he just executed a cop in the next state over, if he just got convicted of sexually abusing 11 kids in Nevada. You don't know these things. You don't know who you have. So be thorough with the work that you do. It's not just going to be some bullshit warrant. You see that Alyssa from the Indiana State Police, if you scroll down in the group, you're new to the group, you'll see that she caught a dude on a motor vehicle stop after taking my class. And I'm not going to say that she chalked it up like, hey, stuff I learned, but she got a guy who was on the run since 1996. Because where somebody might look at that and go, ah, forget it, let him go. He probably got a $100 warrant. Don't worry about it. I do a New York accent because we're from the area. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Nah, you stop playing games. Go back on the road. Stop with this guy. He don't got warrants. Listen, we don't do that shit here at this police department. And you know what she got? A fugitive wanted by the U.S. Marshal since 1996. She's a new trooper in Indiana. Alyssa, big ups to you. It was a great job. Really sent chills. When I read the story, I got chills. And the guy was wanted on robbery, sexual assaults. Imagine being a victim or your sister's the victim or your son or daughter's the victim of this sexual assault. You want to know that there's somebody out there doing the job. And there's probably some piece that was, oh, he got caught. 1996 was almost 30 years, right? 1996 was to make it 23 years. This dude's on the run. And one cop who knows how to do their job brought this fellow to justice. Doesn't always have to be 400 kilos, folks. Some people took this job to have a job. And some people took this job because they felt like they had a purpose. And I understand that sometimes people take this job because they feel like they had a purpose and they get beat up so badly through the job itself, inside and outside, that purpose seems to fade away. That's understandable, but the world is the way it is. You still have a job to do and do it right. See you guys.